Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said there was a man who said he knew of a woman who was cured of her nervousness in one treatment. The doctor told her it was a sign of old age. We appreciate the opportunity of looking into the Bible and learning about the will of God. And we especially appreciate those of you who are listening as we do that together each day. We've been discussing this week a statement found in the book of John, chapter 4, in the Lord's discussion with the woman of Samaria. The woman of Samaria thought that the place of worship was very important, and so she mentioned the mountain where her ancestors met for worship, and she said the Jews worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. That's not the important thing. Here's what's important. Worship must be in spirit and in truth. Yesterday, we were pointing out the fact that God, in His Word, has told us what pleases Him and what does not please Him. He didn't leave us to guess what He wants us to be doing. He gave His Word, and so worship must then be according to His Word. John 17 and verse 17 says, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. The Word of God authorizes the things that we do in worship to Him. The Ephesian letter points out the fact that there are people who go in their own direction, do things without biblical authority. The Colossian letter, chapter 3, and verse 17 says, anything that we do in word or deed, we must do in the name of the Lord Jesus. To do something in His name means that He authorizes it. When somebody is asked, what do you do in worship? And they respond by saying, well, we do anything we like to do, or anything that we want to do. Friends, that's not enough, is it? It must be authorized. We must do it in the name of the Lord. So when a person begins saying, well, I think it's all right to do something in worship because it sounds good or because I like it, that really isn't a sufficient argument to prove its necessity. The Lord indicated to the woman of Samaria that worship must meet requirements. It must be in spirit, and it must be in truth. When God tells persons what to do, they must be obedient. Take a few moments and read the beginning verses of Leviticus chapter 10, 1 and 2. There were two sons of the high priest, Nadab and Abihu, and they were given commandment concerning what God wanted them to be doing in their worship. What did they do? Well, they listened, and yet they decided that a fire that God had not commanded them would be just as good as what God had instructed. Doesn't that sound like men today? People who think they know as much about it as the Lord does. But anyhow, Nadab and Abihu offer a strange fire to God. What's the result? Well, the Bible says fire came from heaven and consumed them. Can't you almost hear someone arguing, well, they were worshiping, and whatever we do in worship pleases God. Well, that isn't so, is it? Doesn't follow Bible teaching. The Bible teaches that when God gives instruction, He wants us to follow it. Nadab and Abihu were wrong because they did not follow what the Lord authorized. They went off on their own. So fire came from heaven and consumed them from among the people. It's obvious that God doesn't have to accept everything that we do in worship. He only accepts the things that we do that are according to His will. Would it be out of order for a person to ask, why are we doing these particular things in worship? Well, for instance, when we sing, would it be out of order to ask, why are we singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord? I'm sure that some Bible student will step up and say, here's the reason we're doing it. The Ephesian letter chapter 5 and verse 19, the Colossian letter chapter 3 and verse 16 says that we are to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. That's the reason we do it. So it wouldn't be hard to explain our worship if we're doing the things that are authorized. If someone were to ask, why do you have communion every first day of the week? Well, I would answer by saying, I think every week has a first day, don't you? Every week has a first day. And the early disciples in Acts 20 and verse 7 says, the Bible says this, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Wouldn't you see in that passage authorization for worshiping God on the first day of the week? Well, someone says, I think it would be all right to do it some other day, too. Yeah, you can worship on the first day of the week and take communion, but it'd be all right to do that some other time. Where is the authority? Where's the verse in the Bible that tells us that Jesus said it will be all right? By human reasoning, we may come to that conclusion. By teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men, we may reach that conclusion. But we don't reach it by studying what the disciples did, Acts 20 and verse 7. They met together on the first day of the week as the Lord authorized them to do it. If someone were to step up and say, well, why do you take a collection on the first day of the week? Well, I wouldn't hesitate in pointing them to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now that's pretty plain language, very easily understood. The first day of the week is the day that they were to lay by in store according to their prosperity. If we were saying that in our own words, we would say, on Sunday, they took up a collection. They put the money together. That is, to do the work that God had authorized to be done. Did it on the first day of the week. When somebody comes along and says, well, I think we could take a collection every time we come together. I've heard of some religious bodies that do that. Every time they come together, they take a collection. Well, is that what the Bible says? Or is that according to the doctrines and the commandments of men? It isn't hard to figure that one out. The Bible says they laid by in store on the first day of the week. This is the day the Lord authorized. So when a person says, I'm worshiping God in truth, they would be pointing to the Word of God that made the observation about whatever they were doing and gave the authority for doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. So if we're talking about the communion, if we're talking about singing or giving on the first day of the week, we're talking about something that the Bible authorized. So worship to please God must be in spirit and in truth. It must be according to what God said, and we must follow what God said in order to meet the approval of our Father in heaven. Friends, does your worship please God? Are you doing what the Lord has instructed? According to the Word of God, Are you obedient to His will? We appreciate being with you again today, and we'd like to remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.